All right, Pastor Clark, I'm turning it over to you now, sir.
Hey, good morning, Sister Wilmoth. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
That is tremendous. And good morning, church, to everyone. You've already heard it announced. We are excited about service tomorrow morning. Prayer at 9:30, full Sunday school for all classes at 10, and exciting morning worship at 11. And I understand that Sister Clark is going to have a brand new song that the choir is going to sing. So it's going to be exciting. It is an honor to have Sister Wilmoth today to give her testimony. I have been wanting to have her for quite a while come to our church, and it just didn't seem like things were working out. And then we got into all of this shutdown. So I thought, you know what, maybe it'll work for her to speak to us on the conference call. And so I'm glad this day has come. The Wilmoths are some of our closest friends to Sister Clark and I. And I'm going to finish up in just a moment here, and I'm going to give it to my wife to introduce Sister Wilmoth. But I want to say that we love them. Sister Wilmoth and I were both raised in Modesto, and I have memories of her coming over to our home to visit with my sister, Sister Mantooth. We the Wilmoths and us, have cried together. We've laughed. We've been through a lot of things as the years went by. But I do want to say, Sister Wilmoth, I love you. My wife loves you. And I think there's going to be some of your testimony that I've never heard that I'm really looking forward to. And so, Sister Clark, I'm going to turn to you at this time.
Good morning, Sister Wilmoth.
Good morning, Sister Clark.
I was hoping you could hear me. I was hoping we weren't going to have a technical difficulty there, Brother Vic.
Oh, I thought about it, but.
Oh, and good morning, Truth Church. I love you all so much, and you are going to be so blessed by Sister Wilmoth. I just want to say just a few things about her. I cannot say enough good about Sister Wilmoth. She's one of my friends that I can count on one hand, and we go way back. Sister Wilmoth is loyal. She's true. She's kind. She's meek. Yet she is strong. And you don't mess with her kids or her church or her husband or her friends. You don't mess with them. She'll fight for them. And she is, I could just go on and on and on about her attributes. And she is what we have, a laughing chemistry between the two of us. We're kind of those ones where we just, okay, we go. We were in a situation one time, and I turned to her and I said, "Oh, he's creepy." She said, "Oh, I'm sleepy too." So we go back to that moment. It may not seem funny right now, but at that moment, oh my word, we say that all the time. But she has proven herself to be steadfast even when she's going through very, very dark times. And Brother and Sister Wilmoth, along with a lot of our friends, but they have been through some very, very dark trials, but she has always come through very steadfast. I love her so much, and Sister Wilmoth, I cherish your friendship. You are a true friend to me, and I love you.
Well, the feelings are mutual.
And I want you to just take it and speak from your heart to us today. We love you.
Oh, well, thank you. Brother Clark asked if I would share my testimony, and so that's what I'm doing today. You know, several years ago, my husband was teaching an online class at a Christian college, and I think the class was Pentecostalism, and he asked every one of his students to write down their testimony. And so during that time, I thought, you know what, I'm going to write my testimony. And I want to encourage every one of you, it doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old if you've been in the church all your life or if you have just shortly received the Holy Ghost, I encourage you, take some time. You know, we know the Lord is coming, but if he was to tarry, we need to document the goodness of the Lord for the future generations, because we don't know what they will face. But if they can read your testimony, I believe it'll be encouragement. So I wrote it down, and I'm thankful for what God has done. You know, I'm thankful for the church. We refer to the church in a female gender. It's the mother, and that's exactly what the church has been to me. I am excited that our president ordered the churches to be open. We always knew they were essential, so I'm glad that he got the revelation. The church is not only a building, but it's so vital to have a place to gather and worship. It has always been God's plan. But we know that the church is not only just a building, but it's you and I, his body. We are the church. And I want you to know that the church has been my teacher. It's been my protector. It's been my nurturer. It has loved me when I've failed, and it's loved me in my victories. You know, this is not a religion. This is an experience. And once you receive the Holy Ghost, you will never be the same. Now, I didn't come from a long line of apostolic heritage. I didn't have a grandmother who prayed for me. In fact, I came from a long line of alcoholics and drug abusers and rebels. But I stand before you to tell you a story of people who were selfless, who invested in an 11-year-old girl who I had nothing to give back. I'm the youngest of four girls, and my mother had my oldest sister when she was 17 at a wedlock, and my mother gave her to my grandparents to raise, and a year and a half later, my mother married, became pregnant again with her second daughter, and her husband left her during her pregnancy to raise her daughter alone. My grandparents lived in Missouri, and my grandfather had a best friend who lived in San Francisco, California. So my grandparents moved to San Francisco, and my mother went there also with them. And my mother started working at a cafe there as a waitress. And in that cafe is where she met my father, who had just moved to the U.S. from Ireland. They were together several years during this time, and during that time, my sister Patty and I were born, and shortly after I was born, they separated due to my father's alcoholic abusing physically, and so because of that, my mother was left with three little girls. My grandparents had already raised her older daughter, so their friends that were in San Francisco said, you know, we don't have any children, we will raise one of Lois's daughters. So they raised my sister Patty, which left my mom with my sister Joyce and myself. As for my childhood, I was raised in the Catholic faith due to the wishes of my father, who was from Ireland. You know, in Ireland, if you know anything about the history of that, the Catholic and the Protestant War was a bloody war. And so because of my father, I was raised Catholic, even though my mother and my father were both not practicing Catholics. My mother had been married six times, and like the woman at the well, the man that she was living with was not her own. And because of all these marriages and many other reasons, I moved many times throughout my life. And when I was 11 years old, we moved into a neighborhood where I met a girl named Kathy Baugh, who became my very good friend. And she talked me into riding a Sunday school bus. Well, I was in the seventh grade, and I didn't think Sunday school buses were very cool. But I'm sorry to confess to you, this is my carnal side. But she told me, Michelle, you got to ride these buses. There's a lot of cute boys on this bus. So with that in mind, I thought, okay, I'll ride the bus. So I did. I rode the bus, and sure enough, there were cute boys. But for the first time in my life, I felt the love of God and the love of people and the presence of God that washed over me like something I had never felt before. I never knew what the love of people and the love of God was. I continued to go to Sunday school, and they invited me to a children's church. And at that time, in my home church in Modesto, children's church was Sunday evenings, and it was just before the regular service. And Brother and Sister T.R. McDonald were in charge of that. And these people had a great burden for children. They gave themselves completely to this ministry. And they are the mother of Sister Mary Wilson, Sister Joy Haney, the late Sister Priscilla Magruder. And I went to several services, and one night I received the Holy Ghost. And from that day on, my life has never been the same. My mother agreed to let me be baptized in Jesus' name. My father wasn't really happy about it, but my mother explained to my father that, you know, she's just a young girl. This is just a phase. She won't do this her whole life. But little did she know that from that day until today, I had a very deep desire to live for Jesus in my heart. She was glad I was going to church because it made it easier for her to go out and live her life and work and not have to worry about me. Because before attending church, believe it or not, I had really started running around with the wrong kids and had started getting in trouble. But church changed my life, and during that time, I met a lifetime friend. Her name was Jody, and her mother, Sister Bonnie Kettner. And Sister Bonnie Kettner became my second mother. She became my spiritual mother. She prayed for me. She corrected me when I was off track, and she taught me how to live a holy and separated life. And today I'm standing here before you by the mercies of God and a very faithful woman who invested in a young 11-year-old girl. When I was a freshman in high school, I went to four different schools. And my stepfather at that time also was an alcoholic. And he moved my mother and I to Banning, California. And during that time, there was no church, even in Redlands. Redlands would have been the closest church, and the church in Redlands had not even been established. So there was no church for me to go to. And so during that time, I had a Sunday school teacher that had married Sister Kathy Hodson. She had married and moved to Santa Ana with her husband. And so Sister Kathy Hodson would come and drive an hour and a half, to pick me up in Banning so I could spend the weekend with her. And then she would drive me back, at least so I could go to church. Sister Hodson, her commitment to helping me live for God was beyond measure, and I am indebted to her for her sacrifice and money. You know, before we moved to Banning, we had a youth service, and our youth pastor had us make a dedication. You know, school was starting, and we were going to dedicate our lives to God and through this next school year. And so he had made a big cross, and on this cross he had streamers, and he preached a message, and he said, you know, I want you to take one of those streamers, and I want you to put it in your Bible, and I want you to remember your dedication that you made that night. And so when I moved to Banning, and there was no church, and I was completely alone at times, I would get that streamer out, and I would pray, and it would remind me of my dedication to God and the promise and the vow that I made to God that I would never forget. And it kept me through those trying times, and my stepfather's abuse was getting out of hand, so my mother and I moved to Los Angeles where my father lived, and he helped us get an apartment. And by these apartments was a home mission church that Brother Royce Elms had just started. And so I was able to go to church there. But during that time, my mother decided to go back to my stepfather, and I did not want to go with him. So my dad let me stay in Los Angeles with him. And to the end of that school year, my oldest sister, who lived in Modesto, had gotten to church a few years after I did. And so my father allowed me to move back to Modesto and live with her. Finally, you know, my mother, my stepfather moved, my mother left my stepfather, moved back to Modesto, and I lived there until I graduated. I lived with her. And the day I graduated, she told me, you know, Michelle, I've done what I'm supposed to do as a mother. You're on your own. I've done my job. I've raised you. I'm moving to Los Angeles. You're on your own. Well, I didn't know what to do, but my sister, not the one that was in church, but the sister that I was raised with, said that I could live with her and her husband. But when I did, they did drugs all the time, and I was scared to live with them. So the Lord opened up a job at Gould Medical Group in an x-ray department as a receptionist. So I was able to get my own apartment. I was very young. I was only 17 years old. And I didn't hardly have enough money to cover a car payment, my rent. And, you know, I'm not doing a woe is me, but many times I just ate cereal. But other times, Sister Bonnie, my spiritual mother, would call me at work and say, Michelle, I want you to come by. I've left a plate of dinner for you. And it was during those times that the people of God helped me and kept me afloat. A year later, I decided to go to Bible college, and there were several girls in our church that went. And I didn't have any financial help. I had to get a job at Kmart and another job, but I made it. But during that time, I really did go because I really wanted God to give me some direction in my life. It really was a true statement. And while in Bible college, I met my husband and Brother B.J. Wilmoth. He graduated. He became the youth pastor for Brother Haney. And then after that, we were there about 3 years. On the fourth year, my husband felt a calling to go evangelize. And after 6 years of evangelizing, the Lord gave us a call to a small congregation here in Redlands. And that's where we're staying and pastoring today for 35 years. You know, my mother would come and visit me in Redlands. And from time to time. And one visit when my mother came, my husband had just came home, and he was excited, saying Brother Glenn, who is his barber, my husband had just given him a Bible study and said, Brother Glenn sees Jesus' name baptism. And he was just so excited. And I turned to my mother, and I said, Mother, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Well, she never did respond. She never went to church with me when I was young. But a few months later, my mother came back and visited again. And as soon as she came into the door, she said, Michelle, I'm ready for BJ to teach me a Bible study and baptize me in Jesus' name. And I can't tell you, that was such a wonderful experience. She came out of the water crying and praising God, and the Holy Ghost was all over her, shaking and trembling. Her baptism was an answer of prayer that I had prayed for 25 years. And she told me that 1,000 pounds had lifted off her life. She left Redlands. She went back home. My oldest sister at that time was backslidden. Her and my sister started going to my home church. There was a revival there. And the Lord filled my mother with the Holy Ghost. And that night when she called me, she couldn't even hardly speak in English. She was speaking in tongues. But unfortunately, shortly after that, she was diagnosed with colon cancer, and within 6 months, she died. But I'm thankful for the mercies of God. My mother never knew how to be faithful to a man. She didn't know how to be faithful to her children. I don't know how she would have been faithful to her God, but God is merciful. And he answered my prayer, save my mother. And that was the prayer that I had prayed since I was 12 years old. I stand before you today, or sit right now, and just tell you that I am here because of the mercies of God, but of the fingerprints of the church, and not just one person, but many people who touched my life and who invested in me. And I think in this pandemic, and, you know, a lot of times we're focused on us and if we're going to stay faithful, but if I can encourage you, if you're in a ministry, it's time to step up. You know, my husband's theme song of his life, it's an old, old song, and it says, if I can help someone along the way, then my living will not be in vain. And that's my challenge to all of us today in this time where we're getting back, and they say there's a new norm. There's not a new norm. We don't want to be normal. We want to press forward. We know God is coming, but invest in someone. It was somebody's investment of their time, their sacrifice, that changed my life, and in turn, God has used all of us to change somebody else's life. Let's press forward. Let's keep on, you know, if you love children, I encourage you. There's a Michelle Wilmoth out there. I had no connection to the church. How God saved me is just his love. It's just all I can say. And I just want to thank God for the church. I want to thank God for the people that invested in me. And my challenge to you today is invest in a child. Invest in a Bible study. Let's move forward and see the will of God done in this end time. Amen.
Sister Wilmoth, you have left me in tears. This was beyond what I was thinking, and we love you. And this was a great, great blessing. All of these devotions are recorded, and I know that our people will be listening to it again. But I really, really appreciate you taking time to be with us today. Church, why don't we, before I give it back to Brother Vic, why don't we all just pray for just a little bit? Jesus, I want to thank you and give you praise for what we have heard and for what you have done for Sister Wilmoth. Lord, we love you. Our hearts are overflowing with love and appreciation for all that you've done. Thank you for keeping your hand upon the Wilmoths. Thank you for the work that they're doing in Redlands and in Africa, going to Liberia and working there with the people there. Thank you for everything. This is one more great testimony of what you are so able to do. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Wilmoth. Brother Vic, I'm turning it to you.
Thank you, Pastor Clark, and thank you, Sister Wilmoth. Yes, Pastor, we're feeling that same touch of God, that same anointing in hearing Sister Wilmoth's powerful testimony this morning. How blessed we are. And you know, I thought about this. We were blessed to hear Brother Wilmoth here earlier this week, and now we are blessed to hear Sister Wilmoth this morning. Pastor Clark mentioned how that they have a history with the Wilmoths, and I also remember, I have fond memories growing up hearing Brother Wilmoth preach at our youth camps and our conferences, and as we can all see, they are still a shining example of what it is to be a true Christian. Again, thank you, Sister Wilmoth, for your powerful testimony this morning, and church, let's invest in someone. Let's remember those words. Let's all invest in someone, whether it be a child or a new convert or someone. Let's just begin to invest in the kingdom of God. Praise God. And with that said, boy, there's such an anointing here, church. let's carry this anointing and let's be meditating upon these words that Sister Wilmoth gave us this morning. Let's be meditating and praying on that all day long, and let's get back together at 7:15 p.m. to hear another powerful testimony devotion tonight at 7:15 p.m. God bless all of you. Have a great day. Amen.